Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for this day. This is the day that you have made. You made it. You make every day, and everyone is awesome, more awesome than the last. Thank you for loving us and for sending your Son, and thank you for giving us your word so that we could know your heart. Let the words that come out of my mouth today be your words and not my own. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
God is good. I went to a friend's house the other day. He needed some work done at his house, and he told me that his mother-in-law was going into hospice, and I know her really well, and so I was kind of sad. She's been fighting cancer for forever, so, and they finally said, yeah, no more, and she said, okay, I'm done fighting. Let's just relax. So she's going to go into hospice. And what was interesting is I know her, and I know that she knows Jesus. But it was funny because what came to mind was I need to go speak to her, because I want to say, when you stand before the throne, the only thing you need to say is, Jesus will say, you know, or God will say, why do you deserve to get into heaven? And knowing her, she would start to rattle off every good thing she's done. And I want to tell her, the only thing you need to say is, the only reason I'm here is the blood of Jesus. That's the only reason. That's even what God's been talking to me about is, we can't take credit for anything we do. Because, you know, when we get to heaven, God will say, what'd you do? And you go, I didn't do anything. I was just a vessel for Christ. And Christ did stuff through me that it wasn't me at all. And he'll say, come on in. That was the right answer. You know, if you say, oh, I mean, I saved 10,000 people and I did this and that. Yeah, you missed the point. You weren't listening to me. You didn't have a relationship with me. I already told you, I'm going to do everything. You just need to be available and I'll just do it. You don't have to work. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. You didn't read my word and do what I, you know, you didn't listen to what I said. So I think it's very important to, I think my whole life, and it may even be a downfall, is I never wanted to be proud. And I'm proud of that. No. No, I was always afraid that I would be proud. And so I would not do things that would make me proud. But that's silly, because that's just the devil trying to keep you from being who you need to be. Because, you know, you go, you know, I'm nothing. But then Jesus goes, yeah, you are nothing, but you're everything. Because I made you holy and I made you righteous. And you have a purpose. So it's weird, because it's a dichotomy in your mind. You're like, I'm nothing, but I'm everything. And how is that even possible? And it's because Jesus is in us. And that's what's so awesome. So that when we stand before the throne, we go, yeah, I didn't do anything. And you, because you could list off hundreds of things, but it wasn't me. It was, you know, I'm just a broken vessel, and Jesus used me to do things. It's fun. It's fun because it's true. If you assume you are something, then it becomes a burden, and you're like, well, I have to do this. I've got to do this. I've got to be this way. I have to spend 20 hours in the Word every day so that God can use me. But if you realize that God just needs you to just be you and let Him be Him. Yeah. And He can use you wherever you're at. I find it sad when people say, well, I have to be in the right place for God to use me. I have to be spending time in the Word, and I have to, you know, get my sins out of my life. And there are so many people that think this. I can't do stuff for Christ because I've got sin in my life. Well, you're gonna do sins until the day you die. God already covered them. Jesus died on the cross and said, hey, that junk is covered. Spend time with me. And the more time you spend with Him, the less you sin, because you see how empty it is. And that's glorious, when you start to see the emptiness of it. The devil has to become trickier. I think, I can't remember if I said this here or if I said it in Fort Worth. It's fun to know. Do you know the devil in Job, it talks to the devil, you know, I'm going to and fro. So what does that tell us? The devil can only be at one place at one time. So the devil is not all powerful. God is all powerful. He can be anywhere at any time in every person. So we always think the devil is this amazing whatever. I mean, that's why he had to have so many angels, because he couldn't get it. There's no way he's going to take on God by himself, because he's a creature. I don't even know why he thought he could. I still find that funny. I was thinking, even if I wanted to do it, I'd be like, yeah, he's God. I'm not. It's because he had so much pride. You know, pride is a funny thing, and desire. I assume that he must have desire, because you wouldn't try to take over God's place if you didn't have desire. So it's just good to be. What's fun is when you're humble, God raises you up. If you try to raise yourself up, you'll be humbled. And the Bible even says that, you know, it's like, if you try to make something of yourself, you're going to be nothing. But if you let yourself be destroyed, God will make you everything. And that's hard, because that doesn't make any sense. And it's hard to think of that. I mean, there are some, God has shown me areas in his life, and he's taken care of those. He's just, you know, wrecked those and put better things in their place. And there's other areas that he hasn't given me a word on yet. And I think, God, does that bother you? Is that something you're going to take care of? And he's like, that's not for you to worry about. Just spend time with me. And because, you know, people go, well, I still have this problem, and I just don't know. You know, God, why aren't you taking care of that? And God's like, when I see, it's fun. As you get older, you see God's plan, and you see the way and why God does things a certain way. I was talking to somebody this week about just awful things that happen, and you go, why did that happen to me? It's because it's hard to be a witness to someone if you haven't gone through tribulation yourself. You can't say, if everything has gone right your entire life, you just say, oh, trust God. People are like, trust God? Nothing bad has ever happened to you. How do you know what it means to trust God? You're wealthy, and you got a great family, and nothing, you know, it's good for us to go through tribulation. One, because it gets rid of our flesh. But two, because, man, it makes us a great witness to other people. They go, oh, this is going to, and you can say, yeah, that same thing happened to me, or something like this happened to me. But you know what I can tell you is God came through. God kept his promise. That's the one thing, is like, God makes promises in the Bible, and you go, man, you promised this. Why hasn't it happened? But it's like, when you, the longer you live, you go, oh, God does keep all of his promises. And you can stand on that, and you can witness that to people. God keeps his promises. You just gotta. I was talking with Cooper and Flood a couple of weeks ago, and we were talking about that. We were talking about there are two camps. There's those who rest in God and those who do works. And they're like, you got to do works. They're like, they understand God, they get saved, and they're like, okay, now we got to do works. And it's like, no, you have to rest in God. And when you rest in God, the works are a byproduct of you resting in God. They just happen. You don't have to do it. You don't have to force it. You don't have to make it happen. It'll be a byproduct. When you're in love with someone, you just automatically want to do things for them. I mean, it just comes out of you. You just do ridiculous stuff. Because you love them. You're in love with them. You're just so passionately in love with them. You're just like, I'll do anything for that person. That probably doesn't exist anywhere. Except for with Jesus. Humans are all selfish. For a while, it's emotional. You're like, oh, I love this person so much, I'd do anything. And after a while, you go, they have some flaws. Maybe I won't give them everything. Maybe I'll just give them most of everything. So, anyway. But that's silly, because God, Jesus gave us everything, and if we have everything, then we need nothing. And if we need nothing, then we can give everything. Does that make sense to you guys? If you know that Jesus, God, is going to supply all your needs, you don't have any worry. If God said, hey, I need you to do this, you go, I don't know how I can do that. I don't, you know, God, you know I don't have the finances to do that. God isn't interested in you thinking about your finances. If God asked you to do it, he already supplied the way and the means to do it. You know, it's random in the times of my life. You know, God, I've always been able to pay my bills. Never had hardly any extra money, but I've always been able to pay my bills. And then periodically we'll start to get somewhere, you know, a little behind, and all of a sudden, just some randomly, somebody will send us some money, or I'll get a big job and I'll make good money on it. And it's like, and God already knows. He's already laid it all out. Stop worrying. So it all boils down to that thought that I had about that lady is, when you get to heaven, it's like, it's just you, Jesus. It's nothing I did. And that can be, I know my brother-in-law said one time he did really good on a test, and he's like, man, I studied hard and I did all this. And I said, well, thank God that he brought all that stuff back to your memory. He goes, oh, that wasn't God, that was me. I was like, man, what a burden, because what if you fail the next time? That was also you. You know, it's like just let God do it. It seems you don't get any glory from it, but you do, because you know what? If the Father gets glory, we get glory. Because we're part of his family. We're now engrafted in. I can't remember where I was reading the other day. It was funny. We are engrafted into the family. We're not Jewish, but we're in. And that's fun. I think it shows throughout the entire Old Testament and some of the New Testament. It's like, it's never the right guy that got in. It was always the wrong guy. Even all the way up to Jesus. Jesus was born, you know, of a poor carpenter, and he was born in a stable, and he was running from the government. That doesn't seem right. That's not a God, you know. You know, David was a shepherd, which was the worst job you could have. It's like being a garbage man nowadays. He was a shepherd. It was always the second guy or the adopted guy. You know, I don't know, this is kind of a random thought I had the other day. I didn't know where, okay, in the end times there's going to be the Antichrist and that kind of whole group. And I thought it was interesting, and I don't know if this is accurate, so don't quote me on this, but it was interesting. Some guy said that if you look at the number 666, and then if you look at the number, if you look at the name of Allah, the characters are very close. And I thought, does that mean the Muslim religion is the religion that the Antichrist is going to come out of? Because we have Isaac and we have Ishmael. Abraham didn't wait on God. He did his own thing. He did his own works. He's like, I've got to make this thing happen. God made this promise, and it isn't happening. I'm getting older. Sarah's getting older. We need to make this thing happen. And so he took matters into his own hands. Again, I don't know if that's biblical, but I just think that's interesting. But because it would make sense, because it's from the same guy, from Abraham. Here was Abraham doing it in his own works, and then Abraham waiting, you know, finally trusting God. There is so much peace in knowing that God has done it all. We went to a dinner the other night for Light of Life International, whatever. It's out of Bethesda Church in Fort Worth. And they go on these mission trips. And I'm kind of jealous. I think it looks pretty awesome. I think that would be fun to do that. But they go and they go. They mostly spend time in South America, but they've been starting to go to Africa. And they just go and they just have these crusades. And you know what? I realized that's awesome to go and to get people saved. But what's really awesome is to stay and to grow people up. I don't want people just to be saved. I want people to understand who God is and to be to grow up and to have a, you know, a relationship with God, to mature, to die. I always say that. I always say, you don't want to be mature in Christ. You want to be dead. Because mature people use their own brains. Dead people just do, they don't do anything. You know, a smart man, you know, that's why in the Bible it says there's the rich man and the poor man. And it's not even talking about rich and poor. What it means is the rich man can do it on his own because he's rich and he's smart and he's got brains and he can do it on his own. He doesn't need God. The poor man is in the gutter and he's like, I have no other option but God. And so that's why it's easier for the poor man to see he needs God than it is for the rich man, because the rich man, he'd have to get through all of his own greatness to see he needs God. It's not to say there's nothing wrong with being rich. You just need to know that it wasn't you, it was God. All right, I'm going to turn to Ephesians 4. Oh, going the wrong way. Love you guys.
Thank you. December
2nd. Dennis, nice to meet you.
Thank you very much.
Good to see you, brother.
Dennis.
Thank you.
God bless you.
God bless you.
Oh my gosh.
Thank you.
Galatians, Ephesians. There we go. Ephesians 4. I'll go back to 3. Let's see. It says, now to him being able to do exceeding above all that we ask or think, according to the power working in us. So, I was saying last week, it was interesting. Above what we think, we have no idea. We can't even think as much as God wants to do through us and for us. And it's the power that's working in us. To him be the glory in the church of Christ Jesus to all the generations of the age forever. So it's like, wow. we don't even know what to ask God. We don't have a clue. We're so finite. We're like, well, because I think it's interesting when you, I know that when I did when I started doing remodeling, before that, when something would break, I would throw it away and buy something new because I didn't know my abilities. But then after I started doing remodeling, I realized I have the ability to fix whatever this is. It's like, but I didn't know that. I just thought, well, I have to buy a new one. But now I'm like, oh, I could make that to fix that, to do that. And that's like, God's like, you don't even understand the ability you have because you haven't been taught. Spend time with me and I'll teach you. I'll show you. I mean, it's going to be incredible. I mean, Jesus did amazing things and he said, greater works than these will you do. And I'm like, I definitely have not done greater works than Jesus yet because I don't understand. I don't understand the God that's in me. That's why we have to know, God, who are you? What do you want from me? What should I do? And I'll also say this. This is something that Luther said, which is, I am not Paul. I am not Moses, I am not Daniel, I am me, who God created me to be who I am, not to be Paul, not to be Moses, not to be Daniel, not to be David. I am made for this time because that's who God made me to be. So, you know, you are who you are because God has a purpose for you. It says, before you were formed in the womb, God already knew you. He already made, you're here for a purpose. So, starting at chapter 4, therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, exhort to you to walk worthily of the calling in which you were called. It's going to tell us in a second how you do that. I like that he says prisoner. I mean, when you're a prisoner, that means you don't do anything. You're just like a vessel. You just, whatever you say, that's what I'm going to do. With all humility and meekness, with long suffering, bearing for one another in love. Okay, that's awesome. And some people think that humility and meekness is weak, But when you are powerful and you can destroy someone, you don't need to do that. So someone who... it's funny, I play this game, and there's guys that it's not cheating, but they kind of do things that are very unsportsmanlike in this game. And my only thing is it's either fear or greed. You know, they have to win or they're afraid they're going to lose. And so they don't play sportsmanlike. And I think, man, that's because they either have this need to win because it, you know, makes them feel better, or they have this fear of losing because, you know, it's who they are. But it's like, why not just enjoy the game? Why not just enjoy playing? Why not just enjoy spending time with people? And, you know, if you win, you win. If you lose, you lose. You're still who you are. You know, it doesn't really matter. So humility is knowing you are very powerful, but you don't need to use it. You know, it's like kind of a random story. A neighbor of ours had a Russian wolf, huge dog. I mean, huge. The paws were as big as my fists. And one time it got out, and I went and I caught it. And I was taking it through the neighborhood on a walk. And all the dogs would run up to the fence and just bark at it. And it didn't even pay any attention to it. Why? Because it was huge. I mean, this dog could have taken them out. But it just was quiet, and it was just enjoying itself. So, I mean, when you're meek and when you're humble, it doesn't mean you're weak. It doesn't mean you're powerless. It just means you understand who you are, and that you don't need to bark, that you don't need to, you know, go after people. You already have everything. I mean, we have the King behind us, you know. So I like that picture of, you know, me standing up against the Satan's armies, and they're looking terrified, and it's not me they're terrified of. It's God standing right behind me that they're terrified of. But, you know, I, as a little kid, you know. So, with all humility and meekness, with long suffering, bearing for one another in love. In the King James, it uses the word patience. I like the word long suffering much better. I think that's a much better description. You can be annoyed with somebody if you're patient, you know, but if you're long suffering, that means I love you, and whatever it takes to, for you to know the truth, I'll bear that, you know. Being eager to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That's a hard one sometimes. Sometimes, I don't know if you've ever done that. Like I said, you're meek, so you know you're right, and someone thinks they're right, but in order to keep the peace, you just let it go. You know, that's hard to do sometimes because you're like, whoa, I'm right. I wish you'd just open your eyes and think with your brain. And, you know, but it's like God will say, hey, don't worry about it. I've already got all this worked out. I have a situation in mind, which I'm not going to say because it's on a recording. And I don't want to get to other ears who might listen. But it's true. It's good sometimes to just, you know, I mean, the Bible says, agree with your accusers. They're probably wrong. There may not be. I mean, maybe you did wrong. But it's like, it's okay. God is your advocate. You don't have to, defend yourself. God will defend you. And that's hard because you think, God, this is injustice. I didn't do anything wrong. But it's like, God's like, that's all right. I will protect you. I'm your advocate. And if you spend enough time with him and you see, he does. Anyways, it's funny because I always say, there's really only one person that you need to be, that you know that's okay with you, and that's Jesus. Jesus is okay with me. He likes me. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. That's unimportant. And when you get past that, that really opens it up. And the next thing is you have to be okay with you because Jesus is okay with you. It's like, it's good. It's good to love yourself. Because Jesus loves you, and you don't have to love yourself because you're perfect, because you're never going to be perfect. Jesus in you is perfect. So when you get saved, you are perfect. And that's the weird thing in your mind. It's like, well, I'm not perfect, but I am perfect. So being eager to keep the unity of the spirit of the bond of peace. There is one body and one spirit, even as also we are called in one hope of your calling. It's true. It's true. Have you ever gotten a word and then you talk to a brother from somewhere else who doesn't travel in the same circles and they got the same word or a complimentary word? It's funny. Jeff and I talked about that one time. It's like sometimes you'll hear two words and they seem contradictory, but they're not. They're complementary, you know, because God, each one of us is different. If we all had the same goal or purpose, it'd be boring. God, you know, prophets, and this book is about that, you know, the prophets and teachers, and we all have a different purpose. And you can see that, like that guy whose dinner I went to the other night, he's an evangelist. His job is to go out and save souls. My job is to grow them up. It's good. But I mean, you can't grow them up if they're not saved. So he has a job. I have a job. You guys all have a job. You know, the Bible tells us to be salt and light. It doesn't tell us to be a megaphone all the time. Sometimes I always think that's funny when guys are on the street and they're, I don't know if those guys save anybody. They may be. Some people need a hard word. I have heard from God. He's like, go talk to this guy. And in my mind, when I hear it, I speak hardly and even use a little profanity. And I'm like, that can't be accurate. God would not have me use profanity. But sometimes somebody needs to, they've shut off and they are hardened and you need to jolt them. And it was funny because God, there was a guy who was talking. He was in a little video and he was talking. And he was talking about Jesus and how much great he was and blah, blah, and how he created this. And he was swearing. And I thought, all right, God, you want me to go talk to that guy and you want me to get him back into the fold and use a little profanity, which seems wrong to me. But God knows what he needs. God knows what that guy needs. This doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense. But God used a donkey. That didn't make sense. God said, if nobody worships me, the stones will cry out. Stones can't cry out. How can stones cry out? Doesn't make sense. It doesn't have to. You just have to trust. That's the amazing thing about God is he spoke the world into existence. Spoke it. It's funny. I love, you know me, I like watching videos on creationism and stuff like that and evolution. And it's funny, the more I love the way these guys think. I don't even think of these things. I'm like, how did you think of that? And the guy was like, how could the Big Bang happen and you have all these planets and they're all perfectly round? It's like chaos doesn't make order. And you're like, oh, it doesn't. And then I heard another guy who's like, he's like, there's these people and they believe that this guy came and he created all this stuff and he made it from nothing. And then there's other people that think that nothing made nothing. He goes, nothing can't ever make something. And nothing made something. He goes, nothing is nothing and it can never make something. He's like, who's the crazy people? The people that think that some guy came down and made everything or that nothing made something. It's like, I mean, and that guy didn't even believe in Jesus. He goes, the people that believe in nothing, they're nuts. I mean, come on. The law of thermodynamics says, you know, things can't be created or destroyed. So, man made up that law. But anyways, God is amazing. It's fun to see who he puts in your path to answer questions. Do you guys ever have a question and then God puts somebody in your path and it just answers the question? You're like, oh, thank you, Jesus, for answering it that way. But sometimes he gives you a word. Sometimes he puts somebody in your path. Sometimes he even uses a secular something. You're like, wow, that wasn't even godly. And yet you showed me who you were through that. Because why? Because God still created that person. That person is still a child of God. They may not be going to heaven. But they were, God still knew them. He desires that they go to heaven. He desires that they spend eternity with him. Does anybody know where I'm at? Okay. There is one body and one spirit. Is that as far as I am? I'm only on verse 4? Therefore, is one body and one spirit, even as also you were called in the hope of the calling. One Lord and one faith. One baptism, one God and one Father of all, above all and in you all. Man. I'm going to read that again. There is one body and in one spirit, even as you also were called in one hope of your calling. And one Lord, and one faith, and one baptism, one God, Father of all, above all, and in you all. So it's like, it's so clear. It's like, that's why I hate denominations, because they fight over dumb things. It's like, we are supposed to be in unity, and you guys are worried about, you know, the color of the carpet or this thing. I was talking about last week. I was talking about there are men, the men of God, or you know they're men of God. You're like, man, there's a lot of truth that comes out of you, but there's some polluted junk that comes out of you as well. Like there's a guy, Andy Stanley, and it's like, where did you go wrong? It's like, you have almost the truth. He believes that, he'll say, well, the homosexuals in my church are better Christians than the non-homosexuals. And so he'll say, it's okay to be a homosexual. You're like, no, you missed the point. The point is the heart. First of all, if they're still, God loves the person who is in homosexuality. That doesn't make homosexuality right. But it's hard for man, because man doesn't want to hurt. You know, it hurts your deal if you hurt your congregation. Hey, I got a lot of these people in my congregation, and I can't hurt them, so I got to say things that make them happy. But making them happy is going to send them to hell. You know, it's like, he missed it. The point is, God loves them. Yes, God loves them. God hates their sin, but their sin is already covered. So you need to love them enough to say, hey, God loves you. God loves you. You are precious to him. Stop sinning. Stop living in that. It's not blessing you. Anyway, I'm going to move on. But there's a lot of guys out there like that. There's a lot of, it's funny. There are so many musicians that I know that you see them and they were Christian musicians and then they fall away from God and you go, what's the common thread? And then you find out they all went to seminary. And then after they went to seminary, they decided that God wasn't real anymore. And it's like, what's wrong with seminary? Thank God I never went there. It just wrecks your mind because you get brilliant. You know, you're like, I know so much about God. But there's it's one thing to know God, to know about God. It's another thing to know God. There's a lot of people that have head knowledge. You listen to these guys that I listen to, they're all whatever they call that when they argue for Christ. I don't even know what that, I can't remember this kind of word. Apologetics. They're into that. It's one thing to know all the scriptures. It's another thing to know the God that wrote the scriptures. You know, it's good. If you had to pick one or the other, having all the knowledge or just having a relationship, I would say having a relationship is more important. Know like one scripture in the, John 3:16, for God so loved the world Know that one. I mean, you should know the rest, but it's more important that you have that relationship than that you know all this scripture, because head knowledge will lead you down the wrong path and you'll come up with some dumb thing. Those people that say it's okay to be homosexuality, they'll take the Bible and they'll skew it till it says it. You know, when if you, I don't even, there's another term for that. There's like exegesis and eisegesis. It's like interpreting the scripture so that it says what you want. That's not God. The thing is the whole Bible has to agree. And if you take one scripture and you make it say one thing and then another scripture says another thing, then you're interpreting how you want it. And that's good. I am really good at justifying things. Boy, I can take a sin and I can justify the heck out of it. Well, here's why it's okay. It's not. In my heart, I know it's not. But I could do that. And I know who God is, and I know who God is in me. I don't do it anymore. I just say, yep, that was a sin. That was stupid. Don't justify sins from God. That's stupid. Just so you guys know, that's stupid. Don't justify your sins. Just admit it. It's good. I love it. When somebody sins and they admit it, I have way more respect from someone than when they sit around and they justify. It's like a homeless guy, and they'll come up and they'll be like, oh, my house burned down last week, blah, blah, blah. And just come up to me and say, hey, I need 10 bucks so I can go buy a beer. I don't want you to have the beer, but I respect that much more than you lying to me that your house burned down and your kids can't get to school, you know, or whatever. Or you're trying to, the good one is when they're like, I just need $12 so I can get a bus ride to, Oklahoma or whatever. You're like, just tell me the truth. It's like I have much more respect for that.
You mean they weren't really going to Oklahoma?
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think they're really going to Oklahoma. No, nobody goes to Oklahoma on purpose. Actually, Oklahoma's very pretty.
Watch it.
I like Oklahoma. So. Yeah. Yeah, I know.
It's such a good story.
It is. They are good stories. The funny one is when you get the same guy.
That's what she used to say. The first guy out of prison, I gave my money. She'd go look at me. She'd go, that's the oldest trick in the book.
I won't ever give any money. I'm like, no, I put myself in college. You're fine.
I had one guy one time who gave me a sob story, and I gave him some money. And then a week later, I saw him again, and he asked me again. And it was a different story. I'm like, come on, man. I was like, how are your kids? I don't have any kids. I'm like, oh, you had kids last week. It's like, ooh. I'm like, yeah, got to make sure your lies, keep your story straight. You got to have enough truth in there so that, Oh, man, hallelujah. God loves those people too. So, all right. Therefore, he says, okay, according to the measure of the gift of Christ, but each one of us given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. So, we got lots of grace. Grace is good. Therefore, he says, having gone up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. It's good, man. We are set free. But he that went up, what is it except that he also first came down into the lower parts of the earth? So he had to become a man. Jesus had to become a man to do it, because we couldn't do it. Jesus said, hey, God said, hey, be perfect, and you can get into the garden, get back into the garden. You can get into heaven. And we couldn't do it. And he knew we couldn't do it. I think that's funny that he's like, you guys can be perfect. And it was funny that the Jewish people were like, God, we'll keep all your commandments. We promise. It's like, don't be so dumb. You can't. But how is it that we're built that way? How is it that in our minds we're like, yeah, we can do it, and then you can't? There's so many things that I've tried. I'm like, man, I can figure this out, and then I can't. You need somebody who's done it before. You need the Creator who did it, and you need Him to do it for you. You need Him to show you how to do it. and then to do it through you. It's crazy. He came down in the same, he that came down is the same who went up above all the heavens that he might fill all things. And he gave some to be apostles and some to be prophets and evangelists and some pastors and teachers. So it's good there. Do you guys pick one of those? Are you guys one of those? Pick one of those in that list. And the thing is like, you always think, well, you know, I'm an apostle, whatever. That doesn't mean you can't prophesy. It doesn't mean you can't teach. I mean, you have a gift and you have a gifting in one area, but that doesn't mean God can't use you in another area. That's the one thing I hate about psychology. Is it pigeonholes into people. Well, I'm a type A personality, so I can't do that. Really? Who's God? Can God use you to do anything he needs to get done? Now, he'll probably use, I find that he uses me, I'm a procrastinator, and I find he uses that often. That's who I am. It's not who I am. It's what I do. It's not who I am. I'm the righteousness of Christ. I'm holy. I'm, you know, but I do procrastinate. And many times God has blessed me through that. I met my wife because I'm a procrastinator. I would never have met her if I hadn't been a procrastinator. I was supposed, do you guys know the story? I was supposed to fill out this form, and I took 3 months to fill it out. And so I didn't go to the convention I was supposed to go to. I went to the one that was 3 months later. And that's how I met Mary, because I procrastinated and I didn't fill out the form. So the guy that nominated me for that place just passed away. If I hadn't gone to that school, you know, it's crazy to see how God lines things up. If I hadn't gone to that school, I wouldn't have had him as a teacher, and he wouldn't have nominated me, and I wouldn't have met Mary. And then Gabby wouldn't have been born, and you can just keep going and going and going. You know, you can go all the way back to my mom. If my mom's dad hadn't been mad because the Presbyterian church wouldn't baptize her, and she ended up going to the Lutheran church to be baptized, she wouldn't have met Dad, who wouldn't have gotten together and married and then had me. You know, you just keep, and that goes back thousands of years, and, you know, all these things happen. For me to be born, for me to talk to you right now. God knew me before the earth was formed. He knew who I was. He knew what I was going to do. He knew my purpose. We're all precious. Even if we seem insignificant, even if we're bums on the street, we're not insignificant. You know, we're precious to him. We have a purpose. And he gave some to be apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, with a view to the perfecting of the saints. So good. So that's my job. I'm supposed to perfect you guys. Are you guys perfect yet? Is my job over?
Amen.
That's right. That's right. Amen. Perfect.
Dad is always perfect.
Perfect. That's the best answer. In him, we are perfect. That's good. I always had this weird, it was funny when I would see people die, you know, people that were like, on fire for God, and they would die. And I think, God probably wasn't sinning anymore. He was probably perfect. God took him home. I better keep sinning a little bit so I don't go home yet. See, there's a justification to sin. I'm not ready to go home. Don't be perfect yet. That's silly. And you guys know that. With a view of perfecting the saints. Who are saints? What?
What's perfect mean?
You tell me.
It means perfect.
It does mean perfect.
It means unto a perfect man, unto the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ.
Amen. And Christ is, yeah.
So how does that relate to, I'm going to sin until the day I die?
I know. Because that's my flesh. But my flesh has already been crucified.
Okay. Well, you're not that man anymore.
I agree with that. So, I agree with that.
I see the seed of Christ there.
Amen.
And God's not going to be happy if we have a 99% son of God. He wants 100% son.
Amen.
Of God.
I'll agree with that.
Hallelujah.
All right, brother. I'll never say it again. with a view of perfecting of the saints to the work of the ministry for the building up of the body of Christ. That's awesome. We're all the body of Christ. And we build, it's, the Bible says iron sharpens iron, and that's good. You come together and you fellowship and you, you know, it's not good. You ever seen some guy that's by himself a lot? He says weird, dumb things because he's not fellowshipping with the brethren. You got to go be with the brethren because your mind can come up with dumb stuff. And you got to get, you got to have a check. Ian always says to me, he goes, you always chastise me in the nicest way. He doesn't need it. He's good. That guy is a prophet. I don't know if you guys know Ian. God, he gets dreams. He gets some of the most incredible dreams. God speaks to that guy. And to me, I look at him and go, yeah, you look like you could be a prophet. You're a little odd looking and, you know, you're bald and, you know, just kind of, I think of like it was kind of like a John the Baptist type of guy. Definitely has the look of a prophet. So it's good. We're the body of Christ. So until we all may come to the unity of the faith of the knowledge of the Son of God, to the full grown man, to the measure, you know, when it means man, it means mankind. It doesn't mean men, it means men and women. So, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So, I mean, was Christ perfect? Man, woohoo! Are we in Him?
Yes.
Okay. So that we may no longer be infants, having been blown and carried to and fro by every wind of doctrine in the underhandedness of men. So, that's what I was talking about. I was talking about, it's good. I know I'm at a place in my walk now that, like before, I wouldn't listen to men that I knew had some messed up teaching because I didn't want my mind to be, I just wanted the right. Here's the truth. But I say dumb things. So like Dad would always say, take everything I say and then go to God and go, God, is that real? You need to have a relationship with God. And that's why if you have a relationship with God, you can listen to someone preach and you go, yeah, 98% of that was good. This part's garbage. And you can throw that part garbage out, but then you can be blessed by that other 98% or 95%. So because no man is going to be, you know, every once in a while we're going to be, say, fleshly things because we're, for a minute, we just had a brain fart and said something of our own, not from God. So,
you know, I heard somebody
yes.
preaching on this, and he said, he's going, the Lord's on purpose, going to leave some flaws and some great teachers, great men of God.
Yeah.
So we don't worship.
Yeah.
Because our tendency is what
yes.
And he said, so he's going to leave a really noticeable thing. So that
yeah.
people realize, okay, they're not
yeah.
Pointing me to the Lord, not to this guy.
Yeah. Some of them are really good at hiding it. No, it was funny. I agree with you. I remember the guy whose dinner I went to, his dad was a pastor, a big pastor over in Fort Worth. And I would go over, because I was, when we had our college group, we didn't have a college group at Emmanuel. So I went there so I could hang out with other college kids who love Jesus. And so I hung out with the pastor's son and all the kids in the youth group. And I'd go over to his house. And people would go over to his house and they would just like, they'd be like, terrified and like awed by this guy. I'm like, he's just a man. I mean, I guess I know that because my dad was a pastor. I'm like, he's just a guy. He, you know, has bad breath in the morning or whatever. You know, it's like, there's nothing amazing about it. He's just a guy. He just listens to God. And you too can listen to God. You know, it's like, you don't have to be, that's some denominations are like, I was talking to somebody the other day and they said there was a pastor told him one time, and he was talking to him about God, and the pastor said, you're not a pastor, so don't talk to me about this, you know. It's like, what? You can't spend time with God just like the pastor can spend time with God? That's a bad pastor. That pastor doesn't need to be a pastor. He doesn't understand. If he feels that you need to, you know, go to him for discernment, I mean, a lot of immature Christians probably would need that, but I mean, if God tells you something, and that's why you go to, that's why you iron sharpens iron. That's why you go and you, hey, this is what God told me. And then, yeah, that's what God told me. And you, you know, talk it out. But for a pastor to do that, that's wicked. That man should not be on the pulpit because he doesn't understand who God is and what God's desire is. We're all equal in the sight of God. God can talk to any of us equally. You know, it's funny. I always think of the disciples. You know, they were fishermen and, you know, whatever, tax collectors and whatever. They weren't, you know, scholars. They didn't spend time. Paul was the only one. Until Paul, they weren't scholars. They were just normal lay people who just loved God and spent time in his word, you know. And that's who God used. That's what the people said, how are these guys speaking with such authority? And it wasn't because they had all the head knowledge. It's because they had heart knowledge of who God was. And they could speak with authority. And that's what's important. That's what I'm saying. Relationship is more important than the head knowledge. Because God can speak through you. Even if you don't know the right words, you open your mouth and God will say it. I know God has done that to me many times. I just open my mouth and I'm like, wow, where did that come from? That wasn't from my understanding. God said to Jesus, I mean, Jesus said to Peter, man didn't show you that. The Father in heaven showed you that. That was a new thought for Peter. You know, he wasn't assuming that. It just, God showed him. And it was like, the light went off. Ah, why? Because we're created by God and it's all in us. You know, it's like, anyway, I'm going to keep going. Underhandedness. Oh, that's awful. And of men and the craftiness with a view of the trickery of error. So, but speaking the truth, so I don't know why men would do that. Again, because it's there by the grace of God go I. I don't know why men would want to trick other men. I don't know why men would want to make other men subservient. I don't understand that. Because I have God in me. So that doesn't make sense to me. I want other men to be blessed. If I had $1 million, I want the guy next to me to have $1 million and that guy to have $1 million. I just want everybody to be blessed. So I don't understand that. But that's because God is in me. It's not because I'm awesome. It's just because God is in me and has made me new. And so I see who God is. But speaking the truth in love, that's what I was saying. You got to tell the homosexuals in love, hey, God loves you. Stop sinning. It's not loving to let them continue in their sin. But the whole world is that way. Just be nice. Don't hurt anybody's feelings. It's like you need to hurt some people's feelings sometimes. Don't do it. Don't be aggressive. I mean, God will tell you what to do. Like I said, sometimes you need to be aggressive, people. Sometimes you have to be gentle. The older I become, the more I realize how many people have been hurt by the church because the church had false doctrine, whether or not it was intentional or just through bad teaching. You know, in my conspiratorial mind, I go back to Rockefeller. He polluted everything, the medical field, the educational field. He even had seminaries in his pocket. It's like the guy was the devil. It's like, whether or not he thought he was doing good or not, I don't know. That's funny. It was when people think they're doing good in the name of... That's what Paul... Paul was like, I'm killing these Christians in the name of God. You know, and he thought he was doing good. He wasn't. He was killing Christians. You know? It's like... Hallelujah. But speaking the truth in love, we may grow up into him in all things, who is the head... The Christ. Remember, I talked about a few weeks ago about the cornerstone. Jesus is the cornerstone, and that's how you build. If the cornerstone is perfect, everything that's built on it is perfect. And we're built on Jesus. From whom all the body, having been fitted and compacted together through every assisting bond, according to the working of the one measured in each part, producing the growth of the body to the building up of itself in love. We're all attached to Jesus. We're all built off of Jesus. We're the body. I always think in my mind of the body of Christ, and it's like we can't all be the eyeball or the brain or the hand, you know, what part are you? I'm a freckle or a, you know, what part are you? But you know what? It takes all the parts to make the whole. And that's us. It's like a big puzzle and all the pieces to go together, and we all make the body of Christ. Therefore, I say this, and I testify in the Lord, that you no longer walk even as also the rest of the nations walk, in the vanity of their mind, having been darkened in the understanding, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance which is in them because of the hardness of their heart. It's good. That's why, and you know, it goes back to the parable of the soil. You have to have, your heart has to be soft. That's why I think this new generation, I think their heart, they're not hard. They're searching.
Yeah.
They're ready. And you have to be real. You have to be real with them. You can't be fake. You know, you can't just, the Christianese, you know, I could say all the right Christian-y things, but that's not, you can tell when somebody's faking it. You can tell when somebody just is up there, it's not alive. It's not alive to them. When you speak about God, it should be alive. They should see it in your eyes, in your actions, in your life. Who is God to you? You know, He's everything to me. And that seems, yeah, it doesn't, you guys know. Who, having cast off all feeling, gave themselves up to lust for the working of the uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned, but you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you heard Him and were taught in Him and the truth in Jesus. For you have put off the old man as regards to the former behavior, having been corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and to be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and to have put on the new man, which according to God was created in the righteousness and true holiness, which is what Willis was saying earlier. I don't sin anymore. I'm in Christ. My old man has passed away. And why wouldn't people want that? It's fear. And they're like, oh, I won't get to have fun anymore. I don't understand that. I mean, like, people go, yeah, I went out drinking. I'm like, how'd you feel the next day? Well, I felt terrible. What's it doing to your body? It's destroying it. I'm like, so why? Where's the fun? I don't understand. I guess my thing is, I'm already so free. And my tongue is, I don't drink alcohol because I already say plenty without alcohol. I don't know what I would say. You can ask Mary, if somebody ever offers me a drink and I partake of it, I shut my mouth because I don't know what would come out of it. maybe that's just me because I'm already so free in Christ. I don't care what people think about me. Jesus loves me, and that's all I need. You can hate me. It doesn't matter. You can think I'm silly. I don't care. You know, I love you. I want to tell you about Jesus. I want you to know. I want you to have the freedom I have. I want you to have the joy and the peace that I have. I want you to have the power in you that I have. God is good. He loves me. He loves you. I'm going to stop there. It's good. Well, I guess I'll keep going. We only got like 10 more verses. Therefore, putting off false, speak truth, each with his neighbor, because we are members of one another. Be angry, but not sin, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Mary and I do that. We don't ever, if we're mad at each other, we'll stay up till 3 a.m. until we're not mad at each other. It's good. Don't ever let the sun go down on your wrath. It'll eat at you all night long in your mind while you sleep. Nor give place to the devil, the one stealing. Let him steal no more, but rather let him labor working what is good with his hands, that he may have something to give to the one that has need. Those bums that we don't give to. I pray about it. When I see a bum who asks for money, I always pray about it. God, do I need to give it to this guy or not give it to this guy? So.
But he's got to get to Oklahoma.
He's got to get to Oklahoma. Let not every filthy word go out of your mouth, but if anything, for good, to build up in respect of need, that it may be given grace to the ones hearing. It's good. Build people up, even if they don't deserve it. None of us deserve it. We deserve death. But we don't get death. So build people up. It's good. I do that when I go anywhere. I ask people, how are you doing today? And they'll say, oh, I'm doing okay. I was like, well, any day is a good day that you wake up. And they're like, yeah, I guess so. You know, it's like, yeah, did you wake up this morning? Yeah, it's a good day. It's a very good day. You could be sick, whatever, but you woke up. You know, you're not in the dirt. It's a good day. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed to the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and anger and wrath and tumult and evil speaking be put away from you, along with all evil things, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, having forgiven one another, even also as God forgave you in Christ. So yeah, so why? It's like, there's no point in being angry at people. I mean, you deserve death, and God forgave you, so why is it so hard to forgive them? You're already complete. You're already full. Christ has given you everything and done everything in you. It doesn't even matter. Whatever they did against you has no bearing on you. That's why I was saying at the beginning when I was talking about when somebody who is meek, they're strong. Just they're not weak. They're like, I already have everything. I don't need to come after you for coming after me. I can just love you. That's what a meek person does. They just love someone even though they're being ridiculous towards them. Because they're already blessed. They're already full. My cup runneth over. I've got plenty to share. I'm a king's kid. I'm the son of the Most High. Your offense doesn't bother me. That's the same. Our offense that we don't do anymore doesn't bother God. Didn't bother God. He loves us. So, hallelujah. Go out this week and love on somebody. Don't give a bum some money. Or do. That's right. That's right. Yeah. Yeah. It's good. Yes.
If you don't mind me sharing.
Yeah, go for it. Do you want it on tape, or do you want me to stop?
No, it doesn't.
Okay.
There was something that probably I'm probably the last one to know this, but it was something that was revealed to me that really had an effect on my life. And it kind of aligns with what you're saying, which is why I was like, okay, well, I'll just spit it out. But, you know, they asked Jesus, what was the most important commandment?
Right.
And he says, love God with all your heart, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself.
Right.
And to me, whenever I heard that, it always made me think, well, I'm never going to be able to love God with all my heart and all my soul and all my strength. The Jews tried to do that.
Yeah.
There's no way to do it.
Right.
But when you realize that it's God that loves you with all his heart and all his soul and all his strength.
Yeah.
That when you see that and you draw close and suddenly you realize that that's a type of drawing closer to God, then you become exactly what he is because you recognize that in him and then it kind of rubs off on you.
Yeah.
Kind of like when somebody starts to laugh and then you start to laugh for no reason.
Yeah.
Or when somebody's excited and they're full of energy and then all of a sudden you become excited and full of energy.
Yeah.
So then you are able to love with all of God with all your heart, soul, and strength, not because it's from you, it's because you realize that's him towards you.
Yeah.
And your neighbor as yourself is just something you said earlier, which is just a derivative of that because he says, and your neighbor as yourself.
Yeah.
In other words, as you're,
yeah.
you realize how much you're loved,
yeah.
and then it just comes out of you.
Yeah.
But that was something that became real for me for some reason. I don't know why, but I just don't.
Yeah, no, it's good. Yeah, God gives you the, God tells you to love him, and then it gives you the love to love him. It's like, love me with the love that I'm giving you to love me. It's perfect. It's like we're just a vessel, and it just goes right through us. Anyways, it's awesome. I don't know. I had one last thought. I'm trying to remember what it was. I had somebody that was doing a lot of things, and they're like, "I'm tired of helping people." and you go, "Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of work to help people." But to me, in my mind, that goes, that means you're doing it in your own strength.
Yep.
If you're tired of helping people, it's because you're doing it and you're not resting in God. If God's doing it through you, then you have all the energy in the world and all the, and it's not a big deal. You're just like, woo, I helped people today. Now what am I going to do now? You know, it's like, it's so if you find things to be a burden, it's because you're doing it and you're not allowing Christ to do it through you. All right. Hallelujah. So don't burden yourself. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. It's good. All right. Love you guys. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for today and this week coming. Bless everyone and let them be the light and the salt that you have created us to be and to share your love and joy with all those around us, even if they don't want it. Give us boldness, but give us wisdom. And let all our conversation be edifying with one another and build each other up. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for coming over.
Absolutely.